Look, I'm just trying to entertain the kids, just a little
that
connection.
That can't be true.
A little fun.
Just you can't go into, you can't, that can't be your goal.
It is.
To entertain. That's, there's no way that anyone with that goal would make that.
Here's, well, do
Bob,
I explain?
That's such a big liar.
Do I explain on the Periscope tape from yesterday what I'm trying to do here?
Yes, you do.
Okay, but I will not set it up. Let's go
so
ahead.
So, Bean Periscopes, which is live video, and this is all about the chocolate milk thing that we talked about yesterday, and it is... We're going to try not to interrupt, but it's pretty impossible not to as he begins what is 9 minutes of video.
How we doing? Can you guys hear me okay? Is the mic on? I need to wait and find out if the mic is. The mic is on? Yes, you can't hear me. Fantastic.
All right, now he'll do this several times because you can actually put notes on the screen to him. So other people can say, yes, the mic's on, and he'll...
Forget to mention this after 2 minutes of him not appearing in front of the phone.
There's that. I mean, he did run out a couple of times to silence the dogs, which one of we hear.
Allie McKay, you know her, the, this is why you failed, lady. She says to me, she says, what about instead of ice cubes made of water, you do ice cubes made of chocolate milk? So I promised I would try it, and I thought, since you've been on this journey with me, why try it alone? So we have a glass, which is really a mason jar. We have Derigold chocolate milk. This is how The Walking Dead started, someone said. Very funny. We have milk. Hold on. I got to go yell it to Linus. I'll be right back.
You guys! Hey! No! Linus! Veruca!
Jesus Christ. All right, stop right there. Look, it's not a television show,
right.
You guys. It's just
then don't televise it.
It's just a guy with a phone, and I wasn't anticipating that the dogs were going to see something outside and start barking. So,
by the way, I just want to say up front that I did edit that to make it much, much, much shorter. He spends a lot of time not doing this chocolate milk.
You know what's also not a television show? Putting ice cubes in a glass and pouring chocolate milk into it.
But, Ralph, they've been on the journey with him.
There's no journey. This isn't a thing to televise. This isn't a thing to Periscope.
So he comes back.
All right, where were we? So which goes in first? I don't know if there's a... All right, hold on. All right. There's Veruca. I'm sorry. This is a mess. All right, so ice cubes first. Well, I didn't predict this.
All right, so the conversation
I didn't
is
predict the only entertaining thing that was going to happen in this thing.
The conversation is: do you put the chocolate milk in first or the ice cube?
I hadn't thought about that ahead of time.
I'm going to suggest it's a complex process.
I'm going to suggest irrelevant. Just doesn't matter.
Liquid and cubes together. It's untested. No one's ever tried it before.
So Bean tries to, you know, get the ice cubes out, and it won't come out. So he didn't predict that.
Oh, man, I think I just broke my ice cube trays. Oh, no! My cheap-ass plastic ice cube trays. I can't get the cubes out. Are you kidding me? Oh, no! Are you seeing this? The ice cube trays are breaking, but the ice cubes are not coming out.
People, are you seeing my ice not come out?
It's like that guy on the radio talking about the Hindenburg landing in New Jersey. Oh, no! Are you seeing this?
This is a disaster!
Oh, the humanity!
Look, I have to be honest. I was a tiny bit embarrassed at this point because there are hundreds...
You should have been embarrassed way before that point.
There are hundreds of people watching, and it's live, and I wasn't expecting this to happen. And now, all of a sudden, I cannot get these cubes made of chocolate milk out of the ice cube tray. Now what do I do?
This is a colossal disaster. This is the biggest waste of chocolate milk ever. I filled this ice cube tray with chocolate milk, and now I can't get the cubes out. This is unbelievable.
We understand.
This is unbelievable. Can you imagine not being able to get ice cubes out?
The waste of chocolate milk is concerned with. The waste of time,
not so much. No. Now, I'm gonna let the next part roll, but I want you to listen to Bean now, who is out of breath.
It's winter.
Try shit.
I'm exhausted at this point.
Oh, no. The This is a brand new ice cube tray that I just bought at the Safeway. All right, this is not exactly... This is...
He's literally about to fall.
This is not what I wanted.
I was just this where he takes out the penknife and cuts his own arm off?
Pretty much, yeah.
An experiment that apparently will have to wait for another day because I cannot get the ice cube. Let me grab a spoon. Let me see if I can get. Let me try a spoon here. Hang on.
It's at this point that I would like to declare Bean.
This I can't even, I didn't, this is, all right. So now it's like a Shawshank Redemption type deal. On the bottom of the tray, get a knife on the bottom of the tray. What are you talking about? All right, hang on.
It's ready to comment.
Ladies and gentlemen, one ice cube. We now have chocolate ice cubes in the Worse Than the Ferry Ride. How dare you? At least you can hear me this time. Maybe that's why it's Worse Than the Ferry Ride. All right, now we're going to add a little bit of Dairy Gold chocolate milk.
Now, at this point, did you think this is going on pretty long for a glass of chocolate milk?
Look, here my whole thing, you guys. Beans the King of Periscope. Yes. Periscope, like Twitter, like anything, is completely voluntary.
Agreed.
No one has to be with me if they don't want to be.
Yeah.
So
I want you to do one a day. I'm not kidding. I want you to think of something today. And
one?
At least one.
Two or three
sure.
A day.
Well, I don't know that he can handle. They're all about 8 hours long, so I'm not sure how many you can do.
Try some of that. All right. I don't think I need a full glass.
What do you mean you don't think you need a full glass? You mean for the test?
Yeah.
So you only pour
mixing of ice and a drinkable fluid.
It's a partial glass.
This is uncharted territory, Kevin.
And now to top that off, a little bit of regular milk.
He did make a lot of references early that I had to cut out for time, mm-hmm. that you can't drink chocolate milk straight. You mix it with regular milk because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, you got to pace yourself. And you never know if you have to drive or something like that. You don't want to be an influence. What, Allie?
Yeah, you even said like stretching. Like there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. Right. If you're going to drink it, straight up, yeah, exactly. Unless you're Pizza King
of Periscope. Try toothpicks next time. That's a great idea. Hi from Colorado. Hi from Seattle. All right. A little bit of milk there.
Oh, hi.
All right. Here we go, you guys. I mean, look. It's a little bit anticlimactic because there's no way that this can be anything other than excellent because it's chocolate milk, for God's sakes. I mean, it's hard to screw up chocolate milk, so.
Which is why I would suggest not a good periscope.
No, this was well thought out. This was really well planned.
Let's mix it up a little bit. And here we go. Well, I mean, it's chocolate milk, right?
Jesus Christ. It's our point.
And this was fun, right? Right. Okay. Bye, you guys. Take care. Bye. I think that's it. And that's not it. All right. Here we go.
So, another successful Periscope. Would you guys agree? Pizza King of Periscope. We have been busy in the Red Bull sound space here at K-Rock over the past few weeks. A lot of great groups have stopped by to perform live, and there's another one today. They are called X-Ambassadors, and you can see them in the Red Bull sound space at 4 p.m. That's an unusual start time, but that's when it is today. 4 o'clock, just go to krock.com and watch the X-Ambassadors live.
The Russian president is insane,
right? Vladimir Putin?
Yeah.
You watch him on 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago?
I did not know.
Allie, you saw him, right?
Yeah. He
sure loves Vladimir Putin.
He is a big fan of him.
He likes to, like, yeah. run around without his shirt on. Yeah. And he seems like a child. Like a 12-year-old boy that just wants attention.
Mm-hmm. They asked him about that. Charlie Rose was doing the interview, and they said, Mr. President, why are there so many pictures of you riding a horse with your shirt off?
Right.
And he said, I think what did he say, Ali? He said, I think that the Russian people need a leader that they can believe is strong, mm-hmm. somebody that they can aspire to be. He looks at himself as a symbol of hope for the whole country, wow. and he needs to appear as powerful as possible to make the Russian people feel good about their leader.
Shirtless on a horse.
That's right. Yeah.
That'll do it.
Well, he's at it again. His 63rd birthday was yesterday, and he celebrated by playing an exhibition hockey game in Sochi with a bunch of, you know, veteran stars of the NHL. I mean, professional hockey players out there playing with an amateur. How do you suppose Vladimir Putin would do up against actual real professional hockey players?
He would be destroyed.
Nope, he scored 7 goals, Kevin.
Wow. He scored 7 goals.
He scored 7 goals.
By himself.
Let him, right? He's not really that good.
No, he's that good. You don't know, man. It was not exactly a defensive battle. The final score was 15-10, but his club won 15-10 in this charity hockey game. So we wanted to find out what else the president did on his birthday and find out if this statistic is true that he scored 7 goals. So Vladimir Putin joins us from Moscow right now on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, Mr. President, how are you?
How are you today?
Doing great. Well, happy birthday belatedly. I hope you had a fun 63rd.
Thank you. I did very much have a good time for birthday, and it was an excellent time for everyone, especially me, because I scored 7 goals.
That's just not good press. That's just not them telling people you scored 7 goals to make you look good. That's real?
First of all, I resent implication that the Russian press would not tell truth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because we are open society in Russia. And what can I say? I'm excellent at hockey. I can't apologize for this. It's just it's what it is.
If the goalie makes a stop against you, though, does he die?
No.
Oh. Wow.
Did you have a sweater on, or were you shirtless?
Did
he score again?
Oh, you're playing again right now?
I am playing hockey while talking on telephone.
Wow.
That's how easy it is for me. One hand stick, one hand cell phone.
Wow.
That is impressive. Allie, ask the president your question again. I don't think he heard you with the goal score.
I was wondering, are you wearing a hockey sweater, or are you just going skins?
I have skates on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all. I find it very bracing to be on ice with the temperature keeping me awake, alive, making me feel alive while I'm skating with my testicles swinging.
Right.
And flowing, getting breeze. I like breeze.
Okay.
Okay.
Breeze. Okay. A lot of people have suggested that at 63 years old, many of these photos that are released to the public are just photo ops. Like, you're not really wrestling a bear. You just make it look that way so that you can appear strong.
It's funny to me, America, country of supposed hope and believing and everything, is so suspicious, so cynical when it comes everything to have come from Russia. You are always saying, it's not for real. It's not. So why don't you be less suspicious and more just understand that I kick ass.
You kick ass. Okay. All right, but so
get down. Come here, you bear. I will.
Are you fighting a bear?
Yes, I'm fighting bear on hockey ice.
Wow! How did a bear even get on the hockey ice?
Sometimes, you know how it is. Sometimes bear comes play hockey.
I don't believe that.
It's true. Sometimes, listen. Just because things are different in my country does not make believe they're not true. Okay.
All right, well,
sometimes,
be very careful.
Once in a while, bear comes out on hockey ice. That's just a fact of life.
Well, you would know better than we, but good luck with that.
Excuse me, I am delivering baby during hockey game. Yes, it's okay, little bajinky. It's okay. You're okay now. You're now born.
Vladimir Putin just delivered and named a baby.
I did, yes. Wow. I delivered baby. I fight bear. I play banjo while I play hockey.
What?
I am an excellent banjo player. Look, I'm picking and grinning.
Nothing this guy can't do. Wow, he's really going for it.
Really good.
Mr. President?
Hold on a second. Big finish. I'm going to join Manfredsky and Son.
1 hour from right now, Chris Martin from Coldplay in the studio.
Love Chris.
Same.
So excited he's coming in. Hey, Ed Westwick, too, from Gossip Girl and the new Wicked City, joins us in about 20 minutes as well. guy on the news the other day who has an unusual name. We've talked about this from time to time. It's been a long time since we've talked about what it's like for you if you have a name that is completely not noteworthy. What's the word? Noteworthy? Not noteworthy? Disnoteworthy? What's it like for you if you have a name that nobody pays any attention to until all of a sudden a famous person comes along? Or worse, an infamous person comes along. Look, yeah. There was a guy out there named Charles Manson, and it was no big deal until the other Charles Manson all of a sudden started being all over the news. And then all of a sudden your life sucks if you're the first guy named Charles Manson, right? Yep.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift.
That's this guy.
He's
that's
a
this
guy in Washington.
Yep. Here's a news report of his story of what it's like having that name. And, of course, he was just a dude named Taylor Swift for 20 years.
Yeah.
Until she came along. And then all of a sudden, it just turned his whole life upside down.
Well, what if nobody believes you when you told them your name? Well, that is what a Seattle man has to go through every day. As Como 4's Mitch Pittman found out, the confusion is only getting worse thanks to a certain pop star's rise in fame.
By no fault of his own, Taylor has had his identity stolen.
By the way, he's in his kitchen cooking right now.
Nice natural sound.
I don't know why.
What?
It has to be so noisy.
This is so loud.
It does sound like he's taking apart a car. I don't know what's happening, but he's just cooking. There's nothing sad going on.
For years, his world has been turned upside down because... Despite his quiet life,
it's okay.
Not very quiet.
Taylor's full name is
Taylor Swift.
By the way, doesn't sound to me like he has a very quiet life at all.
Yeah, he's a noisemaker, that guy.
Imagine his surprise a few years back when an up-and-coming country artist shared his name.
I was kind of like, okay, I should look into this. So I started researching. I was like, okay, so she does country music. That's great. She writes her own music. That's awesome. She seems like a great person.
Then. Imagine every single day of his life since.
By the way, let's stop for a second right there. And we are going to take your calls. If you have the same name as a celebrity, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what that is like at 1-800-520-1067. Can you imagine if your name were Taylor Swift, how much you would never want to tell people your name?
Yeah, I think I would just lie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just make something up?
Like his middle name is Adam. Maybe it's time to just go by Adam. Just be Adam Swift. I mean, even having the last name Swift, you're going to get a certain number of people because that's a kind of an unusual last name. You're going to get a certain number of people who are going to make some sort of reference, but nothing like having the same first name.
His email was taylorswift@gmail.com, so he had to change that because he started getting all kinds of fan.
And by the way, I don't know how he gets so much fan mail delivered to his actual home, but people all over the world track him down and send him letters thinking that he's Taylor Swift. I don't know what kind of fans they are that think that Taylor Swift is living in Seattle, but they're writing him letters. He's got stacks and stacks of them all over his house.
And the real bummer is he's a photographer, so he's trying to drum up business, that type of thing. Oh, I'm a photographer in Seattle. Google me. You Google Taylor Swift Seattle, and it's every show she's done in Seattle. So his business is essentially buried.
Yep. Let's hear a little bit more from this Taylor Swift.
And then there's that moment when they're like, wait, your name's actually Taylor Swift? Wait, your name's Taylor Swift. And it happens all the time, numerous times a day. Even at Starbucks, they ask your name, and it's like, Taylor, and it's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny if your last name was Swift?
I don't think anyone says that.
I don't think anyone says
debit card.
By the way, he sounds like dope, too.
He doesn't say my name is Taylor, and they go, you mean like Swift? That doesn't happen. No. It hasn't happened once.
He does sound like a dope.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is a 30-year-old photographer living in Seattle. His name is Taylor Swift. So we thought it'd be fun to take your calls if you've got the same name as a celebrity. 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug told us just yesterday, one of our contests or a phone-in topic or something like that, we had a guy named Tom Cruise calling in.
Yeah.
For instance. That can't be fun. You don't want to be named Tom Cruise, right?
Not unless you're Tom Cruise.
All right. Let's go to line six. Let's go to Claremont. Let's talk to Meg Ryan. I'm a huge fan of hers, man. She was just America's sweetheart for all those movies. Wow, it's so fun to have Meg Ryan on the phone.
Person being.
Hello.
Hi, Meg Ryan.
Hi there. How are you?
We're good.
Well, how are you, more importantly? What's that life being Meg Ryan?
You know what? It's kind of awesome. I get asked all the time what it's like to have kissed Tom Hanks and to get really good dinner reservations. And people freak out until they meet me and realize that I'm only 30.
Wait, so you so you do call restaurants and you say, it's Meg Ryan, I'd like to make a reservation. They go, yes, of course.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And I show up and it's the chef's table. Or
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then they're like, well, where's Meg Ryan?
Has it been, in your case, a little bit easier for you now that Meg Ryan is kind of not as famous as she once was? She doesn't seem to work as much.
Absolutely. But it's kind of fun. I have probably more fun than Taylor Swift does.
Yeah, because she's actively bad.
No. She's talking about the guy named Taylor Swift.
I know, and I'm saying he has it worse because she's actively bad, Taylor
Thank
Swift.
You, Meg. We appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Thank By the way,
Okay, bye now. Thank you.
He's a Taylor Swift.
Thanks for calling. Have a good day. All right, bye.
Good job.
All right, let's try Scott Peterson, please, on line 5.
Oh, man.
This is one phone call?
Oh,
God. Scott Peterson.
I'm living my life, and suddenly this guy decides to murder his wife and unborn baby.
Yep. Yeah, so that happened, and then?
And the worst part is nobody had any good jokes about it.
That's the worst part?
That's the worst part. Everybody's like, oh, you're like the murderer. You're Scott. And they're like, yeah.
And then they're out.
It's a perfect example of exactly what we were talking about, which was the name meant nothing to anyone. It's a very normal first name, a very normal last name. But then one day you wake up and your whole life changes through no fault of your own. And you must have just been sitting there that day going, oh, come on.
Exactly. And I actually lost a job because of it, because somebody thought, no, this guy's messing with me. This is one of my friends calling and calling me, so I'm not going to call him back.
Oh, tough. All right, you can choose. You can have Scott Peterson or you have to be named Taylor Swift. Which do you choose?
Taylor Swift.
Really?
All right. Went a different way than I expected.
Yeah.
Well, she hasn't killed anyone that we know of.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, thanks so much for the call. We'll take a quick break. Hey, great news, you guys. Superstar booking on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking to Chris Rock when we return right after this on K-Rock. Actor Ed Westwick from TV's Wicked City joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. And don't forget Chris Martin from Coldplay at 9. We're talking about a Seattle man who for 20 years had the very unremarkable name of Taylor Swift. No one ever thought twice about it when he gave their name. And then there was a little country singer coming out of Nashville that turned his whole world upside down. I thought he handled it pretty well, considering how miserable it must be for him to be named Taylor
Swift.
Yeah,
he didn't seem like he was bitter.
Didn't seem like he was angry about it. And he certainly didn't take our advice, which is to start going by your middle name, Adam. But we wanted to talk to some of our Kevin and Bean listeners who are in the same boat. Let's go to Chris Rock. He is on line 3. He's in Placentia. Hey, Chris Rock. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Ralph, how you guys doing? Yeah, my name's Chris Rock. I'm 6'4", white. I got red hair. I grew up with this name. I used to hate it when I was a kid, but now that I'm older, I actually love it. When I meet people, they remember my name forever. Job interviews, it's kind of weird. It's kind of dumb at first, but it gets better. I do a lot of networking, so people always remember my name. It's pretty cool. It's not too bad.
Are you on cocaine right now?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm cheaped out. I just drove over from the IE, so...
Oh, all right.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. All right, Chris, glad you're making the most out of your name. Thank you for the call. Let's try, let's go to Jack Nicholson. He's on line 7. He's in Corona Del Mar.
All right. Hey, Jack.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
This seems like it would work out better, doesn't it? Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a funny name. Most of the time I get people that'll come up to me with impressions. So they'll start with The Shining, the go-to, As Good as It Gets, A Few Good Men. Those are the three big ones.
But here's the question that we have for anyone in a situation like yours where your name is so well known is, don't you just get tired of it to the point where you don't even want to say your name out loud because you know somebody's going to go, here's Johnny.
And, well, you know what I do is I usually spell my name. If somebody asks the name, I'll say, yeah, it's Jack, J-C-K, last name, N-I-C-H-O-L-S-O-N. That way it kind of goes over their head. So if I don't want to get into it, that's what I do. But, yeah, you're right. It's every day.
Yeah, there are just times where you just don't want to talk about the other Jack Nicholson, right?
All right, exactly.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's talk to our friend Natalie Cole. She's on line 6. She's in Carson. Hey, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
We are good.
Now, how old are you?
I am 30.
Oh, okay. So do you run into a lot of people who don't even know who Natalie Cole is? This one, she was very, very popular in the 70s, 80s, early 90s, but not so much anymore.
I mean, now it's gotten better, but when I was a kid, it was really bad because I would always get the, can you sing? And I have a horrible voice, so it didn't go off so well.
Wait, people would say, hold on, your name is Natalie Cole, so can you sing?
Exactly. They would automatically think that I have this magical talent because Natalie Cole can sing really well.
But wait, they didn't think that you were the other Natalie Cole. They just figured you had a good voice as well?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's on them, right? They're the dumbasses.
That's pretty weird.
Thank you. It's so weird, especially because I sound horrible on, like, singing. And she's right.
Let's hear some, Natalie. Just give us a little bit.
I wouldn't want to do that to you.
Just a tiny amount. Kind of
punishment.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, but you must be able to sing. I mean, look at your name.
I can't. I know, right? Mm. I should. It's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Natalie. Let's go to Kim Davis. Line 4, Los Angeles. Perfect example of everything was fine until 3 months ago. Kim, this is still fresh in your memory. What was it like that day you saw the county clerk in Kentucky?
Yeah, good morning. I actually heard it on the radio, and I heard the story, and I was like, that sucks. That person is such a jerk. And then I heard the name, and I was like, no, my world just changed.
Wow, that sucks so much.
And then did you just find yourself having to get into a gay marriage debate every single time you met somebody because your name was Kim Davis?
Yeah, and a lot of times, like, when I'll go to bars or whatever, and people look at my ID, they'll laugh or they'll apologize and say, I'm so sorry. And it's just been a crazy few months.
Yeah. Well, at least yours will fade, I imagine.
Yeah, at some point.
Okay, good. Thank you for calling.
Well, that's what you get for hating the gays, by the way.
No, I don't think she'd be new.
We'll talk to Victoria's Secret supermodel Lily Aldridge later this hour here on the Kevin Abine Show. And keep on listening for your chance to win tickets for the sold-out both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which, by the way, is going to be this weekend. And keep it on K-Rock for all the details on how you can see the show and listen to all the stuff from backstage if you're not going to be lucky enough to be there at the forum with us.
Yes.
All right, near the end of the year, we do top 10 lists, and we count down the best of the year.
Why do we do? What is this?
A good time. We have a top 10 list of things that happen during the year.
Right.
Different categories of things?
Different categories, yeah. In this particular category is Moments With.
What is this?
Moments With.
Moments With. What's a moment with? I'm confused.
F you, Ralph.
It's a moment with a part of the show where maybe one member of the show has a bit of a verbal and mental meltdown that leads invariably to hilarity, and then what we do is we collect those, and then we judge what were the top 10 moments with.
Sure.
Kevin, why don't you sound excited about this? There are very few categories.
Why don't you sound excited?
Because there are very few categories of things in
which
you
shine. Here's where Bean tries to make me feel good about this.
I want you to go to the tree, break off a switch, bring it to me, son, but I want you to like it, is what Bean is saying.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that this is an area where you are a winner. You should embrace that.
You really do
excel.
You excel. Well,
but this is all moments of fail, though. That's what this is. This is failure.
I don't think you're alone this year. I don't think this is a Kevin-centric list. I'm getting the sense.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, I'm excited to hear about it, but because Omar is here, and he's the one who put the list together.
Here's Omar. Hey, Omar.
Are you? I'm so tired. Putting these moments with together all year long. You know, I have other things to do in that studio, but like 90% of my time is putting these moments with together.
And we demand a pretty quick turnaround on them, too. Kevin will say something and be like, we need that for the next break. Yeah. We can make that a moment with.
Kevin or whoever.
Or whoever.
Mostly Kevin.
Right. So how many moments with did we score in 2015, Omar?
Total of 41.
41 moments.
41. 41.
That's out of a year of shows. That's not that many moments.
Right?
Really.
Yeah but it's almost one a week, though.
Yeah, on average, it's in the years past, it's been about 30.
Really?
Yeah, so this is a pretty good year.
So good. Well, bumper crop,
yeah.
We're bringing it.
Yeah.
All right, what's the breakdown?
Here's the breakdown. Okay. We have Allie with 3.
Oh,
this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of the 10?
Three of the
of the top 10?
No. Of the total. Of the total, yeah. Ralph, 4.
Yeah. 4 moments?
Bean, 12.
Yeah, Bean's coming on. Bean really tried this year, I think.
Bean,
he really gave it his all.
You know, that aneurysm he had really helped.
Yeah, for sure. And Kevin, 22.
Yeah! So over half.
Yeah, he's still the king.
And still champion.
Yeah.
Give him the belt.
Or medal, or whatever we have.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for, Omar will tell you in the jingle.
Top 10 moments with. Come one, come all, come on and have some fun, because you will not believe how the Kevin and Bean Show is so dumb. They're a little slow and definitely no wordsmiths. Come on, let's laugh. It's Top 10 Moments With
of 2015. Dumb.
you like maybe you put too fine a point on that?
No.
Oh, too much on the nose.
All right. Oh, are you leading us through these? You want to give us? Do we need some setup for any of these? Or?
I don't have the list, so you're going to have to. I didn't know I was going to do that.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
But I have a. I could get the list somewhere around here, I think. Yeah. Wow, that's
good work.
That almost
Kevin.
Made it.
That's helpful. Take the list and then bury it in the middle of the console where no one can reach it.
Here we go. By the way.
So we're starting with 10 and working our way up, right?
Exactly, okay. Yeah. By the way, putting this list together is so hard because I'm in the other studio just laughing my ass off.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you choose?
Yeah, so I have the top, like, the 41 on one, and then I whittle it down to a second, third. It was just very difficult.
Right, it's American Idol.
Okay, exactly, yeah. So 10 comes in at Kevin.
Oh, what? I made it!
A very embarrassing moment because this question he asked to one of his favorite bands,
and we all remember
this Muse question.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it, later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. That does make it much worse because I love Muse, and they were staring at me like I was an alien.
That's when you double down right there in that moment.
At 9, we have Kevin.
What?
Surprise, surprise.
I made it in 2 of them?
You did. And this is spectacular because we have Donald Trump on the phone, and he says Ariana Grande, and not a couple of seconds go by, and you say this.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And I was just saying to my other very good friend, Ariana Grande, the other day, as we were going around licking donuts together.
You were licking donuts with Ariana Grande? Or however you say her name?
No, I don't know who that is.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What happened
there, Junior Samples?
First of all, I don't get the reference. But second of all,
he was on Yeehaw.
I don't have any idea because I've never heard anyone say it that way.
Because no one ever has.
Because no one ever has. So why? I don't know.
What floors me is that Donald Trump just said.
Yeah, I got it. I heard your setup, Omar.
You're a trailblazer.
At number 8, we have Kevin.
What?
Again. Yes.
Come on.
He's talking about somebody's song, and it's called Do It, and he confuses Do It because he has 3 O's with 3, with zeros.
Ah.
Here it is.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
The first song is the one that you performed on the MTV Awards called Do It with 3 zeros. Do it. I mean, O's. Do it. Shut up, Omar. I don't need your help.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, so many zeros in the word do. You know zero's a number, right, Kev?
No, I don't understand why everyone's laughing.
Oh, okay.
Number
Who's
7.
Looky,
we have Kevin again.
This is unbelievable.
Come on now.
Just play it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage. That's back rage.
We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I'm guessing I meant backlash.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I love that you ask us what you're thinking.
Yeah, shut up.
Back rage.
Need your help, Allie.
Sorry. At number 6, we shut have up, surprise, Omar. Surprise, Kevin.
Come on now. I thought Beaton tried really hard this year.
Play the clip.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the... He didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it, that's for sure.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Are we all having fun?
Is that supposed to be like a combination of skimp and cheap or something?
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
Kevin,
that's
what it was. Right. Why are you throwing things at Omar?
I'm not. We're all having fun.
You could have taken
his eye out. At number 5, we have Ralph.
Wow!
Yes!
Wow!
Now, it's really rare for Ralph to have a moment
where...
Yeah,
he's a son of a bitch that way.
You can hear him have a stroke in this one.
And now, A Moment with Ralph.
Peppa opposes...
Welcome
to my world. I just had a flirtation.
That was a moment with Rap.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
that was a stroke, man. That's not funny.
Oh, it's funny when it's me.
And number four, we have Allie. And this
what?
Is
wow.
Big
yes. What? Yes. Top yeah, five. Yeah, shake yeah. it up.
She
all
was
right.
talking about Ralph. And out of nowhere, she calls you Frank. Check it out.
And now, a moment with Allie.
Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce & Gabbana, the two designers that...
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Who's Frank? You said, remember yesterday when Frank said, who's Frank? Yes, I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking
Frank.
About Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him.
That was a moment with Allie.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, Frank.
It's all right.
Frank does good work.
Number three, Bean.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Bean came on strong with this one. Check it out.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat. What? Like, what? I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking Ralph just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
That may all regards to you, Kev, to you, Omar, and your judging, but that may be my personal.
Oh, that's what I was so thinking good. Too. Is how's that so not number good. One? But let's find out.
And I when I hear that, I go, "There's no expression that I was going for there.
Nope.
Nobody says altitude, get off the boat. Like, where did that even come from? I have no idea."
And number two, and we have Bean again.
What?
Yes, and there's actually two moments that happen simultaneously at the same time.
Can you make a moment with that?
Yeah, I'm going to go right in there. But check this out.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Mr. Trump, if you can point out that she has had some bumpy business roads.
Carly Fiorina has had some bumpy business roads.
Isn't that true of you also with all the bankruptcies that you've declared over the years? It just seems like you're the kettle calling the pot black.
Not the pot calling the kettle black.
However that expression goes. Come on, Donald.
That was a moment with me.
Actually, come on. Because he had called her Carly Fiorina just moments before that. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. How is that not number one of the year?
That was a 3-point play from half court.
It really was.
Number one is
Kevin.
Kevin.
He's back.
And the reason this one comes in at number one is because I don't know what happened in his brain works like this one for even Kevin is like, whoa, like what happened? Just listen to it and then we'll discuss.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Why
he
stab people?
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Vanilla let's find out. Let's know the knife? More. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were thinking of Screech? You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was a moment.
Yeah, right?
Kevin.
Oh. Yeah, right. You're right. You're right, Omar. Yeah. You're right.
Uh-huh.
So that's number one, then, huh?
We still got it, you guys.
We still got it.
Top 10 moments with of 2015. Dumb.
All right. So the problem in America is that it's too hard to buy a gun. I think that's the conclusion that we're all coming to.
I've not heard that from anywhere.
Just no place to go to get a gun. Firearms are very difficult to come by. And that's why I'm pleased to announce that Gun TV is going to be debuting on January 20th during the Gun Industries trade show in Las Vegas. It's going to start out with 6 hours of programming a day, And then it hopes to, by the end of 2016, expand into a full-time 24-hour-a-day live gun shopping channel.
I got to be honest, I didn't see this one coming.
No. Really? Gun-related programming, they'll sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call a toll-free number and get yourself a gun. So we have many questions about how this channel will work and what the legalities are with all of the, you know, all the rules about who can buy a gun and background checks and everything else. So we thought we'd get somebody on the show to talk about it, and Dave has lined up for us Mr. Lewis Martindale from Gun TV. Mr. Martindale, thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us this morning. How are you, sir?
You're welcome. How are you doing?
We're good.
We're doing fine. So Gun TV, huh?
Yeah.
The goal is a 24-hour channel about nothing but firearms.
Yeah, no, that, but it's the first 24-hour firearm shopping channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yeah, we'll be having programs about guns and how to polish your gun, how to touch your gun, and how to kiss your gun. But also, we'll be selling you guns, too. Here's the thing. In America, for every 100 residents in America, there are 89 firearms. And we think we can get that up to 100. 100% USA. USA.
Are you getting a little blowback on this idea? Because it seems like maybe now is the wrong time to launch.
Well, some people have some back rage about it, but we have decided to hold steady and say, Second Amendment, bitches!
Right, but I mean, if you already have 9 guns for every 10 people in the country, I don't know, I feel like maybe we're covered.
Right, unless you're the one without the gun. And then number 10 comes in the door, and what do? You poop your pants. Woo!
Are you shooting a gun now?
Of course I am. Am I breathing?
Are you in a safe place? Are you at a gun range? You're not shooting in a neighborhood, are you?
Am I in a safe place? Am I in a gun-free zone? You typical Californians. I'm living in America. That's where I am.
Right.
Woo!
Whoa, that sounded heavy. What was that?
That was a gun.
Okay, all right.
You too can have one if you go to Gun TV and buy.
But what about background checks and making sure people should be able to get a gun? How's that going to come in?
Thanks, Obama.
Well, I think it's important to have people that are, you know, sane.
Here's my background check. Are you an American? Gun!
Oh.
There it is. Check. Background check.
So they just get delivered right to your door? You just pick up 800 number and you'll send them to anybody?
Well, no. I wish it was that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could be, the Amazon Prime of guns?
No, that's a terrible idea.
But no, you buy it, and then we send it to a licensed federal gun dealer, and then you have to go pick it up. But
and that's when they do the background check then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wink, wink.
All right, that sounds like an awful lot of firepower if you're just shooting bullets at nothing.
Make sure you tune in, by the way, to Gun TV. We're going to have some amazing holiday specials, of course. Don't forget, Christmas is coming up.
Right.
So we're going to celebrate Happy Holiday K-47s. In case you want to pick yourself up an assault weapon, it's a great time at Christmas. And don't forget, a Derringer makes a lovely stocking stuffer.
Okay, why do I need an assault weapon, Lewis?
What if you got assaulted?
Okay,
America!
He makes a good point, Bean. Argue that.
In Valentine's Day, we're going to be having a Valentine's Day special. How about for you, the woman you love, a box of chocolate-covered bullets?
Well, what?
Look out for the shotgun shells. They got a crunchy center.
Okay, but nobody wants to eat that, Lou.
I'm not saying you eat bullets. You suck the chocolate off them, and then you put the bullets in your gun. America! How about Father's Day? Your dad may not wear Magnums, but he can own one.
Oh,
and, of course, don't miss our Halloween specials. We're going to have an amazing Halloween special all month long. Welcome to Glocktober. America, guns!
Satisfying
Marcus the most emotional win of his whole career.
The battle is on. Oscar throwing as hard as he can. Troy ties him up, counters him.
Look at Pacquiao. Battle to the end of the eighth round. Trying to stop Oscar De La Hoya in a trap.
The Golden Boy from East LA, Oscar De La Hoya.
A man who only won 10 world titles in 6 different weight classes as a professional, by the way, and let's not forget an Olympic gold medalist and the founder of Golden Boy Promotions. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar De La Hoya joins us in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Oscar.
What a nice intro. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You've
thank
done
you.
Some good work.
Wow. Wow. I kind of forgot about that. Like, wow, 10 world titles. Okay. Cool. Nice.
Oscar, we always talk to professional athletes, and I ask this question. I can't imagine anything tougher in terms of a career transition as what you did, as what professional athletes do when they go from being in the game to being out of the game. Even if you go on to have, like, as you have, a successful, you know, post-boxing career and doing something that you love, I don't know what you have in your life that you can ever have that will replace the adrenaline of those nights.
No, exactly. You're right. I mean, it's funny because when I'm in Vegas watching or promoting one of these big fights, you know, and the first bell rings and you're seeing all the punches flying and everything, at first you're like, you know what, I wish I was in there, you know? Yeah. And then the second round, third round, you start seeing the blood and the knockdowns. You're like, oh, I'm good where I'm at. I'm good.
I don't want to be back in there.
I'm good.
Does it get irritating that no matter, I mean, you could be 60 and people would still be talking to you about, hey, you ever think about coming back? Hey, what are you coming back? Hey, why don't you fight some more? I mean, people never want to let their heroes go. They don't want athletes to retire.
I mean, but that's the fun part, you know? It's like, I mean, if I walk down the street or something, or I'm in the supermarket when the wife tells me to get milk at 10 o'clock at night, you know, people come up to me and tell me, oh, you can do it one more time. You know, why do you come back? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. You know,
There's not 10% of you that thinks like you could do it.
You know what?
Well,
it's funny because I think about it every single day that I can come back.
Wow.
So at one point I was so serious. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I run 5-6 miles. I'm doing this for about a week. And I decide to start sparring. So I go to the gym in the evening, right there in Pasadena where I live. And I spar 10 rounds. The next day I couldn't get out of bed. I just couldn't get out of bed. So I said, you know what? I'm never going to come back ever
My
again.
Mind
I
mean, is there. My body's
Yeah, my
not.
Body's just not there. Is there a song, right? My body. Yeah.
What is your – what's the relationship in your brain with these young fighters that you represent through Golden Boy Promotions? Is it a father-son thing? Is it a mentor-mentee thing? Are you living through them? What feelings go through your mind as you watch your boys box?
Yeah, it's kind of like being a mentor, you know, because in boxing or in any sport, when you reach a certain level of success and when you earn so much money at such a young age, you tend to sometimes get lost. A lot of athletes or even entertainers in general, they just get lost. All that money, that fame, like, what do I do with it? And so for me, since I lived it all those years, I mean, I won the gold medal at 18 years old and instantly my life changed. So, you know, I kind of had to live a few rough moments myself in the beginning, but I learned. I learned, I grew from it, and so now I can pass down that information. I can kind of just be a mentor to these young kids who become world champions and are you know, involved with all this you know, success and money and
fame. Do they listen
to
you, or do they?
They actually
are they
do.
Kids, I mean, and they don't want to because you're just an old guy. What do you know?
Well, you know,
he's not just an old guy.
Yeah.
Well, one thing,
you know
one
how
thing,
kids are. Kids
right.
Never
of course. Yeah.
They never take the advice from the people who they should listen to.
Right. Yeah.
They
I mean,
think they're going to be different. Somehow.
Yeah. They think I can do it on my own. But it's there's a mutual respect, which I really enjoyed because in boxing, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of respect in boxing. If being a world champion, gold medalist, all these young kids, they look up to me. So that's one of the things that we pride ourselves in within Golden Boy Promotions is that every fighter we have more than 90 fighters under Golden Boy Promotions. Every single one can fight, but also is just a good citizen, a good human being, a good person outside the ring, which is pretty cool.
I'm calling BS. There's got to be one.
No,
there
there's
has
none.
To be one.
I think we released that one.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. What's the What's the talent level like of athletes today who choose to be boxers?
The talent is, I mean, at the highest level, I mean, it's a lot of talent out there that's undiscovered.
Is there anyone out there who has the potential to be as good as you were, Oscar?
Yes, yes. You know, I promote this kid right now. He's a redheaded Mexican, okay? Redheaded Mexican, good-looking kid. He's like Elvis right now in Mexico. It's crazy.
Okay.
He's going to be fighting November 21st at the Mandalay Bay. It's sold out like in one day. He's fighting Miguel Cotto. It's a huge fight. It's a big, big fight. And
what's his name?
His name is Saul Canelo. They call him Canelo because cinnamon.
Oh.
Yeah, redhead, you know. And yeah, Canelo Alvarez. He's like the Elvis from Mexico. It's pretty crazy.
What do you think the biggest problem is? From people going where he is to getting to where you were. Like, there are a lot of people who have that potential.
Right.
But then they never end up making it. Why?
I think
it's mental?
The – yeah, it's all mental. It's all mental because you can have all the physical attributes and you can work hard and – but it's all mental. You either make it or you break under pressure. You can sometimes let that success – get to your head. I mean, you have to have your feet planted right on the ground. I mean, really firm and a lot of these kids, I mean, they encounter, you know, the success and the money, and then they think, oh well, you know, maybe I don't have to train as hard for my next fight. And what ends up happening is, you know, they end up losing the fights. They end up just losing themselves.
You won the gold medal in 92?
92, Barcelona.
And your mom had passed away.
She had passed away just, I mean, like a few months prior to that, and
How does that not distract you?
You know, when she passed, some of her final words were, you know, go out there and get the gold for me.
Is that
so
right?
I was like, just like, woo. I mean, I was really, I get emotional now. It's like, but I get.
So it was the opposite of distracting.
Yeah, it was the opposite. Yeah. I did want to give up. Because I thought to myself, you know what, my mom's not here, so what for? Why am I going to do this? Forget it, you know? But then something in me told me, you know what, I'm going to do this for her. I'm going to stay on the right path, and I'm going to go and get the gold for her. And sure enough, I mean, I was there in Barcelona, and it was all a blur. It was crazy. It was all a blur. I don't know what happened. It was all a blur. And next thing you know it, it's like I have the gold medal around me.
This voice of Oscar De La Hoya, by the way, here on the Kevin DeBean Show, the golden boy himself. He has so much going on with the LA Fight Club that we've talked to you about on the show before, which is a lot of Friday nights coming up this fall, and a big fight this weekend. We got so much more we want to get into, Oscar. A quick break, and we'll return with our guests right after this.
All right.
It is our honor to be sitting with Oscar De La Hoya here on the Kevin DeBean Show this morning from Golden Boy Promotions. Oscar, we talked to you a few months ago about the LA Fight Club, which is a first Friday down at the Belasco Theater in downtown LA. And if I remember correctly, you told us that it's unlike anything else that's ever been presented in boxing. It's boxing plus nightclub all rolled into one, right?
Well, what it is, it's a nightclub atmosphere. So there's maybe about 1,200, 1,300 people. It's always sold out, every single one. And you remember the Fight Club with Edward Norton
yeah.
and Brad Pitt. And so it's like, you know, the Fight Club, you don't talk about it, you know, it's under a basement, you mm-hmm. know, and it's like that's the feeling, you know. It's like 1,200 people all cramped into a little room, you know, and the fights are just amazing. And what happens is we take the ring down and mm-hmm. it becomes a nightclub. So it's like packed
with
like 5,000 people.
Right?
It's crazy. Yeah. So, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Now,
every 15
why
days.
Why did you want to do that? Is that a memory for you of how you saw boxing coming up?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was remembering this the other day. The Grand Olympic Auditorium. Remember the Olympic Auditorium in downtown LA?
I saw Rage Against the Machine just before they tore it
right,
down.
Right. Yeah. So there was boxing there like every Tuesday or Thursday. I remember my father. At 6 years old, when I was 6 years old, he would take me on a Tuesday night, a school night, Tuesday night, and he would just drop me off by the hot dog stand, you know, like, okay, you go and go make friends, whatever. I'm gonna go watch the fights. And so that's what I remember about the whole boxing nightclub atmosphere. It's like the Olympic Auditorium was just jam packed with like 6,000, 7,000 people. And I remember just being there and just watching these fights and, you know, it's so,
Is it possible he was just trying to get rid of you?
Maybe.
I'm sad, though.
Every week he took you further and further away from your home to drop you off.
Yeah, son, you get out and make your way to wherever.
You go do your thing. Go buy your hot dog. Here's a quarter. Buy a hot dog.
All right, so the L.A. Fighting Club is first Friday, so there's a show tonight that's sold out. Then the next one is November 6th, and then December 4th after that. But you also have a couple of other great events coming up, including tomorrow night at the StubHub Center. Now, this is La Machina versus the Iceman. Tell me about
machine.
This fight. For
the machine versus the Iceman. I mean, come on.
And this is a championship things, right? fight, right?
Yeah, this is a championship fight live on HBO Championship Boxing. And, the StubHub's almost sold out. It's going to be a great event, great fights. I urge a lot of people to watch it.
Who's your fighter in that?
The Machine.
The Machine.
Yeah,
I
got
your
the
man.
Machine. He's from Argentina. The biggest thing in Argentina. Him and Messi are like the biggest thing in Argentina. It's crazy.
And Messi's pretty much a midget. But most popular.
Exactly.
He's like 5 feet tall.
Yeah. So the Machine, the nicest guy ever. But when he gets in the ring, boy, man, he can knock anybody out. He's a great fighter. But then October 17th, live from Madison Square Garden, live on HBO pay-per-view, we have the return of the middleweight division. Champion versus champion. There's this fighter called Triple G. He's going up against David Lemieux. It's going to be two Mack trucks colliding. It's going to be amazing.
Is it a difficult thing to promote boxing? Is it more difficult to promote boxing now than it used to be? Because it used to be the biggest thing in the world. And now with UFC and stuff, it seems
More work. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
But actually, it's easier because you have social media, you have this, you have that. I mean, whoever thought that a fighter from Ukraine and a fighter from Canada can sell out Madison Square Garden, 20,000 people at the Garden. It's crazy. And the Machina right here from Argentina and Postol, Victor Postol, the Iceman from the Ukraine is going to sell out the StubHub. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, and then Canelo Alvarez from Mexico and Cotto from Puerto Rico selling out Mandalay Bay in one day. I mean, it's boxing. Boxing, you know what? I mean, all we have to do with boxing is give the fight fans the best fights possible. And that's what we do at Golden Boy Promotions. We give you the best versus the best. And that's the way we're going to keep boxing relevant, you know, and keep growing.
By all those names you mentioned, obviously boxing is a huge international sport with fans all over the world. Why are there not more household names in boxing like there were when you were coming up, when everybody knew Ali and Frazier and Holyfield and Tyson and all those names? Where are those guys, do you think?
I think the Olympics has a lot to do with it. If you look at the Olympics, ever since, let's say, I fought, NBC or whoever it was, they really haven't been promoting Olympic boxing.
Oh, really? So they didn't cover it as much?
So they didn't cover it as much. Yeah. You know, there weren't as many compelling stories as when I was fighting. For instance, you know, with my mother, she passed away from breast cancer. I dedicated the gold to her. So it was a great story. America, the world fell in love with the story, you know.
Right.
And obviously it helped that I won the gold. We need... I guess more coverage in the Olympics. We need better talent, obviously, and we need a better, Olympic team that's going to represent us
back to the Olympics.
It goes back to the Olympics because that worldwide platform.
Yeah.
That the Olympics.
That's your launch.
Yeah, that's the launch. That's the launch, and from right there and then, I mean, you can build your career.
Are you friendly with Don King and other promoters, or is that an incredibly competitive business where you look at them as your enemies?
Well, you know, it actually used to be so competitive. It probably still is with Don King and Bob Arum. They're probably the oldest,
not
the oldest
friends.
Promoters. They're not the best of friends, right. You know. But one thing that I had to convince myself to do is that I want to work with everybody. As long as I can make the best fights happen for the fans, you know, I'm willing to work with anybody. And so, I mean, this Saturday is a great indication. Bob Arum has Victor Postol, the Iceman, and I'm promoting Lucas Matisse, and we're working together, and we're giving the fight fans the best fights possible. So, no ego here. Ego is not my amigo.
You sound so happy with the life that you have right now.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, you know why I love it? Because
here's a kid from East LA, okay? Humble beginnings, you know. I mean, my father was a hard worker. He supplied everything for us. We had food on the table, yes. But, you know, we grew up very humble. I was able to win the gold medal, change my life, money, fame, you know, glory, this and that. I reached, like, the pinnacle of my career, winning world titles, this and that. And then I kind of, like, encountered this phase of my life where I almost got lost. I almost got lost, and I almost lost everything, you know, because of certain, you know, paths that I took. And I was listening to certain people that were taking me down those wrong paths.
You had a lot more opportunity to go the wrong way.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And one day I just told myself, you know what? I'm going to lift myself from the canvas, and I'm going to raise my hand to victory. I'm going to go up there and just fight and do what's right. And I'm living the dream now. I'm living the dream. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm at peace for the very first time in my life.
And no one's hitting you in the face.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
It's pretty sweet.
My God, you look 20. I don't know what you're doing, but it's unacceptable.
And I have a good doctor.
Oh. Can get that number.
All right. Before we say goodbye to Oscar, again, Matisse versus Postol, it's going to be tomorrow night for the WBC Super yes. Lightweight World Championship. This is going to be at the StubHub Center. There are still a few tickets left, Oscar said. They start at just $27, by the way, if you want to see the fight up close, it's AXS.com. We're also going to give away, let me see, do we have one pair, Kevin? Is that what we got?
Yes.
We got one pair right now. Nope, two pair. Two pair. Callers 20. And, I'm glad I go to Kevin for backup.
two pair.
Callers 20 and right. 21 right now to see some fighting. 1-800-520-1067. Man, that's going to be a great time tomorrow night. We'll definitely be watching that. Oscar, we love having you on the Kevin Meach. You've been very generous over the years to stop by and see us, and it's always a lot of fun. Do it again, all right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Steve Guttenberg, you guys, is going to be on our show. We're going to talk to him.
Right.
We're going to say words out of our mouths. He's going to hear them with his ears and then say words back to us with his mouth. The Goot. On the Kevin and Bean show in like 20 minutes.
Right.
It's pretty exciting.
All right.
It is not known whether animals intentionally get drunk or not, or if they're just looking for something to drink and it turns out to be alcoholic, but it sure seems like there have been quite a few stories in the last couple of months about animals getting drunk. We just had one on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup this week.
That's right.
That drunk raccoon. We saw that video of that drunk raccoon who knocked over some liquor and was stumbling all around the warehouse. Well, here's another story. We take you to England. This is the Honeybourne Railway Club, which is a bar. It is near Evesham in Worcestershire. And the proprietor, Mr. Bolter, shows up, 62 years old, walks into his bar in the morning and sees the place has just been wrecked. The floor is covered in beer, glasses, and bottles are smashed. And then he found the culprit, a squirrel, staggering around in the bar after coming out from behind a box of potato chips. Apparently, according to the owner, there were bottles scattered around, money scattered around. He had obviously run across the bar pumps and managed to turn on the pump for the Caffreys. That's an Irish ale. So this squirrel just drank himself into oblivion, staggering all around the place. I've never seen a drunk squirrel before. He was sozzled, he said, and looked a bit worse for the wear. Estimated damage to the bar, by the way, about $500.
Squirrels can drink.
Yeah. Eventually, well, think how little they need to be able to get drunk. They're so tiny, right?
That's true.
Mr. Bolter, prior to the inn, eventually caught the squirrel in a waste paper bin and released it out the window. But I believe Dave has been able to... Did he track him down? Do we have the squirrel on the line? Hello? Is this the drunk British squirrel?
He got 99% of the way there.
Oh, boy. Hello!
Okay, look, like the last 10 times we've had one of these stories, we've just gone to the animal. At the last second, I look over and says we're calling the bar.
We're calling the bar.
We always call the location, and then the animal picks up, and you go, oh, we actually have the animal on the line. It's been the same goddamn routine for 15 years. And now all of a sudden, you're going to mix it up. Oh, I think we have the squirrel who has a phone. Now we're going to talk to him. First time ever.
Would you like me to have another go at it, Mr. Squirrel?
I'd like you to lay down on a train track.
So, producer Dave contacted the Honeybourne Railway Club in Worcestershire.
Don't try now to change it.
And we probably have a human on the other end of the phone right now to tell us more about what happened. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey, wait, you're the squirrel.
This is why I drink, okay? This is the reason why I drink. Because I have to deal with these tosses.
All right. Well, look, I agree that we got off on the wrong foot, but
yes,
can we just talk?
Wrong
can
we talk, Paul, if you will.
Right, yeah, Paul. Right. Can we talk about what happened? Why were you in the bar in the first place? That's not a normal place for a squirrel to hang out.
It is a normal place for a squirrel to hang out.
It is.
You know me and my family. We have a long line of drinkers in my family.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's
all right.
True. It's in my family tree. As are my acorns, by the way.
Sure.
That's where I keep my acorns, in our family tree.
Right.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, I guess. Yeah.
Shut up. And then I was going there to get a drink and have some nuts. And the next thing I know, the door's locked. I was like, oh, bloody hell, now what do I do? Well, I guess I'll just drink my fill. And that's what I did. I did.
Huh? So this Caffrey's Irish Ale, pretty good stuff, right?
That's great stuff, I'll tell you. I drank it. And the next thing I knew, I was making sweet, sweet love to a beautiful lady.
Really?
Well, it turned out to be a winter hat. But I thought it was a lady
right.
at the time.
All right.
And that's how good it is. It can make a hat look like a lady squirrel. That's how good that ale is.
Now, is this the first time you've been drunk?
Oh, heavens forbid, no. I've been drunk a long, lots of times in my life.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes I drive a little squirrel party bus. And all the other squirrels along, and we just say, let's go, we need a party bus. And we drive up and down looking for places to party with our squirrel friends.
The owner of the club, by the way, said you did $500 damage to his bar. Do you feel bad about that at all?
No, I'll pay him back. I'm going to get a job.
What?
Yeah,
what?
I'm looking for a gainful employment so I can pay him back. I feel bad about that, the whole 500-pound thing.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a job, and I will pay him back.
Okay.
And then my name will go down in infamy as, or not infamy, that's negative.
Right.
It'll go down in good for me as being a squirrel who always paid his debts.
Okay. What kind of work can a squirrel get?
Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then.
Right.
So I'm probably going to help blind squirrels find nuts.
Okay.
I'll hire myself out as a seeing nut squirrel.
A seeing nut squirrel?
Yes.
How much do you think that pays?
I don't know. Probably not to be a lot to begin with. But
right.
As word of mouth gets around how good I am at it, I bet you I can increase my wages.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you're a very ambitious squirrel for a drunk.
Thank you. Well, listen, not every drunk just is a layabout. Sometimes we've got aspirations and dreams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all.
Thanks for the update.
It's the Kevin Bean Show. Promised you a bunch of good tickets today. We'll hook you up with Comic-Con tickets later on. We already gave away Trainwreck tickets. We are qualifying you for Lollapalooza. Right now, we'll swing open the phones for you if you want to go see Ant-Man July 16th at the Big Deal Theater at the IMAX headquarters. It's in theaters the following day. Stars the great Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly also in the film, Haley Atwell in the movie. If you want to go to see Ant-Man, you'll have to get past Ralph. He's got a game. You will have to earn them, but you can call right now if you don't mind being on hold for a couple of minutes at 1-800-520-1067. Good luck. Alan McKay?
Bean Baxter?
How long have you been on the Kevin and Bean Show now?
I believe it was late February when I started, but I like to think of it more my whole life, just in the car with you guys, just feeling a part of the team, even though I wasn't.
So you were playing along. You had the home game of
Absolutely.
Kevin and Bean going on.
All right, who doesn't?
All of March, all of April, mm-hmm. all of May, mm-hmm. all of June. Now
sure.
we're here into July. Wow. So you're right about 4.5 months, I guess.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
How's it going?
When I was offered the job, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is what a dream job. Hall of Fame broadcasters. People that I look up to so much in the business. People who want to get into radio, they think this is the gold standard. Kevin and Bean, I'm able to learn from these absolute legends. How lucky am I? And I thought, how do I repay them? How do I just say thank you and make it mean something? So I got together with our own Omar Khan and, well, we wrote you this song.
Cause KMB, they got mad dumb. You know it's always like duh, duh. You guys are so bad, it's awesome. Cause KMB, they got mad dumb. Duh.
Streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage. We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I guess I meant backlash.
What is kale? Is that fish?
Panic at the motel. Panic at the motel.
At the motel.
Panic at the disco.
And speaking of sports, we're going to talk to the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly.
Try not to call him Dong when we get him on.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the... He didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
What?
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it? Later when you're playing it? And... That was a poorly asked question. Let me take that.
Can I take that again?
They got mental problems, and I don't think that we can solve them. You guys really sound nuts, because K&B, they got mad dumb.
Duh. Got up at 9, made my flight, came back. Sharp as attack today.
It's just exciting to think about all the, you know, all the things that are going to,
as a result of...
It's exciting. You're right. That's
what
exciting.
I said.
That's a good point. Now I'm excited.
Disaster. I wish I had a do-over on that sentence.
How do you top that?
One, I know.
He bagged groceries. Groceries.
He did what to her?
You remember.
That's how you top that.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
Massachusetts.
Because K&B, they got mad dumb.
Duh. And you got vanilla ice on the loose. He's got a knife. But he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Let's find out. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
He's thinking of Screech.
You were thinking of Screech? You were confusing
Vanilla Ice with the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was.
Duh.
Legends.
I wish Kevin were still alive to have heard that. He would have enjoyed it. Thanks, Allie. Better Call Saul star Bob Odenkirk joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous KROQ. Man, I missed that show. Man, that first season of that show was so good.
Yep. It's out on Blu-ray, which is fantastic.
Yeah, talk to Bob coming up in just 3 minutes. Ralph got to the story near the end of the show yesterday. I think it deserves a little bit more explanation and discussion, which is the outrage over Justin Bieber wearing a Metallica T-shirt. He was on, what, the Ellen Show? Is that right?
The Ellen Show.
And he's wearing a Metallica T-shirt. And a lot of people took serious and sincere offense, tweeting things like, Justin Bieber isn't allowed to wear Metallica shirts. Just know. If Justin Bieber can stop wearing Metallica shirts, that'd be great. Sincerely, those of us who listen to real music. Why is Justin Bieber wearing a Metallica shirt? He probably hasn't even heard one song. So a lot of people were outraged because... Well, I think a lot of people are outraged about anything that Bieber does just because they hate Bieber. So they're coming at it from that point. I mean, if it had been a celebrity that they liked who was wearing a Metallica shirt, they probably wouldn't have even questioned it.
Well, I guess, but in this case, his music is sort of... Feels like the opposite of Metallica?
It does.
So maybe that's why it rubs...
He doesn't strike me as a metalhead either.
Right.
But the question, the bigger question, even beyond Bieber, is should you be required to be a fan of something to wear it on your shirt? Or can you just choose something because you like the way it looks from a fashion perspective? For instance, Ali, would it bother you if somebody you knew was wearing a Star Wars T-shirt who didn't care anything about Star Wars?
No.
You would kill them.
I would. But for the sake of this argument.
So let's be honest here. Because Bieber wearing a Metallica shirt for fashion would be the same as your friend who doesn't even like science fiction, has never seen a Star Wars movie, wearing a Star Wars shirt. Would it bother you if somebody did that?
You know, in all honesty, no.
Because... What if you... But you know... you have to guess if he's wearing it for fashion or not, and you know he doesn't like the Star Wars? I mean, doesn't that... Because I think that's what we're assuming with Bieber. Is that there's no way he likes Metallica. Let's
be honest. He also showed up with a Nirvana shirt recently as well. And it seems it's possible there are 20s, you know, people in their 20s who discover Nirvana and love Nirvana. It's possible he likes Nirvana. I think it's highly unlikely. I think he's doing it because he thinks it looks cool. And I think that's what a lot of people think, and that's why it bugs them so much. So we thought it'd be interesting to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067. Do you think that somebody should be a fan of the thing that they're wearing on their shirt, or does it not matter because it's just like, hey, I wore it because it was polka dots, or I wore it because it was plaid and it went with my outfit? You know what I mean? Does it not matter what the thing is?
Do you think the majority of people that wear Yankees hats love the Yankees?
That's the biggest offender, right?
I think
right?
That's just, it's the symbol, it's very recognizable, it's a good-looking hat, it's simple, whatever.
I don't think all of them like the Yankees. No. There are a lot of people who rock that hat that don't care, even about baseball, right? Probably.
That is a classic logo.
Right.
To me, if you're wearing a Yankees cap, I think it's like wearing a hat with the Apple logo on it. It's just, you know, or Harley Davidson, for instance. A lot of people wear a Harley Davidson t-shirt. They don't ride a motorcycle, but they like the idea or the image of Harley Davidson. Is that okay?
Well, no. Wait, is that what we're saying?
No, look. There's no right or wrong answer.
On this.
There's no right or wrong answer. Look, it's completely subjective. I think it would have to do a lot with what, if you know that person, what else you know about that person, whether it rubs you the wrong way. These people are complaining about Bieber. Like I said, I think they're looking for things to get mad at Bieber about.
I say wear what you like. If it looks good, makes you feel good, wear it. Why are we concerned?
Or not really concerned.
Why are you so concerned, Kevin?
But Bieber. Why? The Metallica fans are the ones that just went crazy on him.
Yes. Yeah.
Just they couldn't take that he was on Ellen wearing that shirt. It just, to them, it rubbed them the wrong way.
And I think, well, Bean's right. It's mostly because it's Bieber. If it wasn't him, people would be like, whatever. But it's him, and you want to hate him.
If it wasn't him and his music, though, maybe you would go, hey, maybe he likes them, and you would give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe.
You know what this is, Kevin? This is when you or I are arguing something and we realize Beer Mug is on our side. And we go, no, I don't want to be on the same side as Beer Mug. I think Metallica fans are like, no, if Bieber's a Metallica fan and I'm a Metallica fan, then I have something in common with Bieber and I don't want that to happen.
And the world will end.
And the world will end.
Right.
So let's see what you say at 1-800-520-1067. Don't forget, you can, if you can't call, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show anytime at the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. Let's start with Tricia. She's got an interesting story. She's in Riverside, and she is on line 2, and she is up first on this topic on K-Rock. Hi, Tricia.
Hi.
So your feelings on this?
You can't wear the shirt.
Can't wear the shirt.
At all. No, not at all.
All right, and you sound like you're coming from personal experience on this one.
Yeah, my kids, they listen to punk rock music, and my husband's, you know, into punk rock, and they're not allowed to wear a t-shirt unless they've owned the album and have listened to it and know, like, who the original drummer of the band was.
USA!
So,
USA!
That's right. USA! Your husband is doing the right thing.
That is hardcore. Yeah. So let me get this straight. So if your kids say, ooh, I want a Clash shirt, your husband would say, nope, can't have a Clash shirt until you listen to London Calling and are able to sing some of the songs.
Well, actually, my kids have plenty of Clash shirts, and they know every single album, and they know the history of Joe Strummer and the whole band. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And my kids get shirt shamed all the time with people going, oh, you listen to Black Flag. Do you know who this is? And my kids are like, really, dude? We know who they are. So, yeah.
Shirt shaming. Yeah, that's real.
I didn't know shirt shaming was a thing.
I didn't either. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Tricia, appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's go to Liz. She's in L.A. She's up next, line 1. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on with this shirt shaming?
Well, look, this totally affects me because I'm a high school teacher, and I see my students wearing Nirvana t-shirts and WTF people. I ask the kids, okay, Nate, give me one song. What's your favorite song? On purpose, because they just do it because they sell it at JCPenney's now.
And then you fail them. Right?
You send them to the principal's office.
So Liz, this is really interesting. You're a smart lady. You're a teacher. Why does it bother you so much if somebody wears a t-shirt just because they think it looks good, even if they don't know the band?
Because that is history to us.
That's history.
Some of us lost our V-card to their music. Some of us, you know.
I hope you explain that at length to your class.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have history with the music, and you can't just, I mean, I also see kids with the Misfits, the Misfit t-shirts,
right.
And I don't even bother asking them because I know it's just the look. But and I also don't have a personal connection to that type of music. But, yes, Nirvana and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you better know us all.
Okay, all right. That's what. Look, Liz is a teacher. She's allowed to lay down the rules.
She'll kick you right out of school, people.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Still time for you to weigh in on this. By the way, Ali tweets us at Kevin and Bean, wearing a shirt just for fashion is being a total poser. Same goes for those who wear sports gear just for the colors. By the way, you can find pictures of Snoop Dogg, for instance, in almost every jersey in the NFL. He always claims that he's a Raiders fan and a Steelers fan. I've seen him in 49ers jerseys. I've seen him in all sorts of Dolphins jerseys.
I feel like he's the exception to every rule.
What about anything he wears looks cool?
If Snoop does it, it's cool.
What about Drake? Any team that's in the playoffs, he's wearing their gear.
That's true.
Yeah, that seems annoying to me.
I don't know. He's totally bouncing around bandwagon fans.
It's hard for me to understand that because I won't wear a shirt of a team that I'm not supporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That doesn't even come into my mind.
No.
All right. Quick break. We'll take your calls when we return right after this on K-Rock. Next hour, I'll give you a chance to see that band live in concert tomorrow night at the Belasco Theater. We're talking about Coldplay, but it's going to be painful. Very, very difficult game to win. Coming up. Very difficult game to listen to, much less to win. Talking about Justin Bieber, recent appearance on the Ellen TV show wearing a Metallica t-shirt has a lot of people just all a lather over it. Why is Justin Bieber wearing a Metallica t-shirt? He can't possibly know who they are. He can't possibly be a fan. Adrian writes in from the 909. I think the question we are all missing is, why is a Metallica fan watching Ellen? Well, that's a really good question. And we're also talking about, you know, not just Justin and Metallica, but the bigger issue. Is it okay to wear a shirt of something that you are not a fan of just because you think it looks good or because it's hip or because it's a nice fashion accessory? So we're taking some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Michelle. She's up first in Southgate. She's on line one. I think she's got an opinion we haven't heard yet.
I got Tammy on line one.
I'm sorry, line seven. My error. Okay. Line seven. I apologize.
All right. Hi, Michelle.
How you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for holding on. What's going on? What are you saying? What do you think?
I think it's okay for him to wear whatever he wears. I mean, quite honestly, like I told you, the first time I answered the phone, my daughter listens to you guys religiously, goes to all of the events, goes to all the concerts, she listens to All Time Low, all those bands. You know what? I think the kid is a douche. He really is.
You're calling your own kid a douche?
No, Justin Bieber.
My own kid.
Oh.
I think Justin Bieber is a douche, but she's going to his release party tomorrow night at the Staples Center. And
all right.
Why is she going? Because, I don't know, the kid is appealing to kids. But
so you're fine
with it. Making such a big deal about the shirt?
You're fine.
I love Metallica.
Look,
I don't wear their shirts, but
I feel like Beaton was right when he said, if you know or like the person, it makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Like we do come at Justin Bieber from a negative viewpoint. Lamorne Morris just tweeted us that he's wearing a Yankees hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave him the new girl exception.
So you let it pass because you like him.
Because you like him, right.
But think about how
like
much more attractive he'd be in a Red Sox hat. I mean, think about that.
I don't think those are the choices.
No.
Oh. Michelle, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Joey. He's in Whittier. He's on line three. He's going deep here. He thinks he knows why people wear stuff they're not fans of.
Okay. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Explain this to us.
All right. So, first of all, when the people who are listening to Metallica, which is, I'm one of them, big metalhead, big punk guy. I mean, I kind of listen to everything. But anyway, these are the people that have been excluded most of their lives from most of the popular things. And so they started acting out, angst-ridden teenagers, listening to loud music and all that kind of stuff. And so when someone who's popular, someone who doesn't have trouble getting into anything that they want to get into, starts wearing what they assume is their brand, they get protective. They get, well, why I was excluded? Why aren't you being excluded? Why are you allowed to wear this? And I'm wearing this, and this is mine.
This is ours. You're not welcome here.
Because you earned it.
Yeah.
It's the same reason, like, why fanboys, like, big fanboy too, love Star Wars, love comic books, been reading comics my whole life. It's the same reason why they get protective when people start wearing Avengers t-shirts. Like, whoa, you just watched the movie 3 years ago. I've been reading this for 150 years.
That's interesting.
Who are you to start listening? Yeah.
How are you reading anything for 150 years?
Not literally, Kevin.
Not literally, Kevin.
All right. Sorry.
That is a very, very smart take on that, Joey. You sound too intelligent to be listening to
Joey. Joey went deep there.
We're happy to have you.
I mean, the real thing is here, honestly, everyone should be allowed to wear any T-shirt they want.
Except for Bieber.
Whatever they want. Well, I mean, honestly, how much metal cred does even Metallica have at this point, ever since they got those Party of Five haircuts like 20 years ago?
They are still turned on his own. They're still legit. All right. Thank you for the call. Carlos writes in. Let me see if this changes your mind, guys. He says it's as bad as someone wearing military gear, like someone having a United States Marine Corps shirt when they never served. That person deserves a slap across the face, I think. Now, could you wear a Marine Corps shirt as a tribute to the Marines?
As a sign of support? Yeah. Not obviously, like a uniform, not Stolen Valor, but just a T-shirt.
I don't know. That's
weird.
Yeah,
honoring them.
Here's Robert who writes in. He says, regarding Drake wearing bandwagon jerseys, Bieber does the same thing. Of course, it's a bad move. I think wearing a band's shirt when you aren't really a fan is disrespectful to the artist, as you're reducing them to a little bit more than a trademark. I'm kind of all for the idea that you should have to shop directly from the band rather than the merchandise being offered at every retail outlet on the planet. What about when a musical performer comes to town, Kevin, and wears that city's jersey at the concert?
Obviously, it always feels like it's pandering.
It is pandering. It's like, hey, look how awesome I am, right? I'm a Royals fan tonight because I'm in Kansas City.
How about our team, everybody, huh?
Here's the thing. If you're in a band and you're releasing your band's name to Hot Topic, that's on you. And kids are buying it. Maybe that's on you, not really on the kids.
No, but being said, what if when the band comes to town, they wear the local jersey? The band does to pander to the crowd.
What about them? I mean, should they not be allowed to wear it? Like, let's say you're in the Red Hot Chili Peppers and you're in Chicago, and you know Flea comes out in a Bulls jersey. Is that okay? He's not a Bulls fan, obviously. He's a Lakers fan. If he does that, is that okay because he's in Chicago? Or
it's
is that
okay because he's Flea.
All right, so the takeaway, we're out of time because we've got Bob Odenkirk next. The takeaway, Bieber needs to be deported, right?
I think that's it.
By the way, just one quick PS on our topic about wearing things that you are not even a fan of just because they look good. I will say I have multiple messages here warning you that if you wear Harley Davidson gear and you do not ride a Harley Davidson, you will have your ass kicked by people who do wear Harley Davidson gear.
If you wear Harley gear and you're on a Honda, screw you. You're going down.
Apparently, reasonable people can disagree about whether it's okay to wear a band shirt or a sports team, but Harley Davidson, that's strictly for Harley riders. We have been informed. So now that's a bit of warning for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always a treat for us when one of our favorites stops by the Kevin and Bean Show. You know him as the lead singer of the band The Killers. Now he's got his second solo album ready to drop. It's Brandon Flowers stepping in here. Hey, how are you, Brandon?
Great. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Long time, my friend. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen you and your sweet hairdo.
It is good.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I've been working on it.
Beautiful.
Rogaine.
Well, we got a lot of ground to cover since the last time we saw you. First of all, must be very exciting for you having a new solo album coming out. May 19th is the US date. It is called The Desired Effect. What is The Desired Effect, Brandon?
I'll leave that up to everybody else to decide. I think we all have different desired effects.
I remember from interviewing you before that you are not comfortable assigning meanings to songs. You just like people to get out of them whatever they...
I've learned from experience that it's sort of, you spend a lot of time working on the song and, you know, and cultivating it and getting it ready. And then I can just kind of throw it away in a second with an explanation, you know, trying to get to the next question or whatever it is. And then it may have some other more important meaning for somebody else, or they're all going to play. I just don't want to blow it.
Well, the first, I think, 50 times I listened to Lonely Town, just grooving, digging it, and then it occurred to me, I am on a one-lane road to Creepyville.
Yeah.
That's a creepy song when you listen to the words.
It's a little bit sinister.
Yeah.
But it sounds affectionate and lovey-dovey, sort of.
Absolutely. Until you realize he's outside asking if you'd lock your doors.
So yeah, that one, I don't mind talking about that one. A little bit.
That's the one that you've from the solo album that you've kind of compared a little bit to Every Breath You
that's
Take.
That's right.
Which is people
yeah.
think it's a love song, but Guess Again.
Yeah, that's right. I was always a big fan. Hats off to Sting for that.
So, Brandon, the main question I always have for somebody who already has a band going and then is able to make solo records is, how do you have so many good songs? Like, most groups are just desperately hoarding whatever ideas they have to put an album together that's good. You've got more songs than you know what to do with your band. How is that possible? Why are you so prolific?
I don't know why. I'm just, you know, I work really hard and I keep going back into the keyboard and to the piano, and the band keeps, you know, hammering away. I think that's a big part of it. We had that work ethic early on. We applied what we learned from our dads, I think, and the way that they went to work. And we noticed right away when we started that a lot of the bands had great haircuts and had managers, but they weren't good enough, you know. And we were looking at people that were making it and doing, you know, making a lot of noise when we first started. It was the White Stripes and the Strokes and these people that were, you know, writing great choruses, and that was really what we were shooting for.
You treat it like a real job then, like something to take seriously, get up and really work hard at it, not just now we've made it, we can skate.
Yeah, no, still, I'm thankful for what we've accomplished and I'm proud of it, but I definitely don't want to just rest on that. And I'm always looking to evolve and get better, and I'm excited about, you know, writing a better song than before.
Do you have trouble comparing it to the band when you're doing your solo thing? Do you think about that? Oh, this won't fit with what the band has put out?
Sometimes it feels like, okay, I've got to decide what the song is. This a killer song or is it a solo song? And for this record, I wasn't as picky about it. I really just wanted to take the best stuff that I had and put my best foot forward here.
I am more fascinated with the songwriting aspect than anything else that an artist does. Do you wake up in the morning and go, all right, I'm going to write from 8 till noon today, and that's my thing? Or are you, when inspiration strikes me, that's when I'll pull over and write it down in my phone?
A little bit of both. Yeah, so it's something, I think that, it's sort of like a muscle, I guess. You know, I think it's good to exercise it and to try to make time to write as much as you can. But I definitely have moments where I might hear something or be reminded of something or get a certain feeling and feel like I really should go try and capture this. And those are, you know, usually the best times to do it.
So you put 10 songs on the album, right? How many do you write or have or record? Are you the kind of
a lot,
40,
yeah.
50?
Yeah, you always hear people say 40 or 50. And I don't know. You know, it always sounds, I don't know if I believe them, that they have 40 or 50, like, hashed out songs. What I do is I make quick demos. So if I have an idea, I make a verse and a chorus, and I move on. You're going to know from what you got from that if it's going to, you know, if you should pursue it or not.
Is it important to leave it alone for a little bit and then come back to it?
Yep. And that's nice because the songs that stick around and that you still gravitate towards, you know, are worth, you know, really fleshing out. And so, yeah, that's how I do it. So I probably had 40, I did have 40 or 50
ideas.
Little demos. Yeah, little demos, but I wouldn't call them songs.
Right. What's the best song you've ever written, Brandon Flowers?
Oh, I probably have a different answer every day that I
really?
Wake up.
That's cool. What's the worst song you've ever written?
I'm guessing we haven't heard it.
Hold on, there's got to be something. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm guessing
there are a lot that never make it, and that would be quite embarrassing. I'm sure there's. What's the worst one? Hell, I don't know.
This is the voice of Brandon Flowers here at the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about his new record. He's going to be performing for us live here in just a few minutes on K Rock as well. So stick around for that. I'm very excited to hear that. The Desired Effect is the album. It's coming out on Tuesday, May 19th. You worked with a different producer on this record
than
you have previously, solo or with The Killers, and that made a little bit of a difference. Tell me about that, Brandon.
So my buddy Benji, he was in a band called Ambulance LTD. I don't know this was in the early 2000s, a great band. And him and the drummer from that band are actually in my solo band. And he played with Cass McCombs and was recording with Ariel and had told me about this guy. And then we went on tour in Australia, and I heard the new Vampire Weekend record, and they were touring with us there. And
how did he describe Ariel to you?
He just said, it was funny. He just said, I think you guys will get along, and I think he'll make you a great record. So I knew I had to meet him. And then the Heim came out, and so I kept hearing his name, and so I decided to give him a call.
So he's one of these producers. Everything he'd done, you liked. So you said, let's see what he's all about, if he can work with me.
Yeah, he's a young guy, and he's hungry, and he has a great sort of understanding for a wide variety of music.
When you meet a guy like that, do you start with music? You start hanging out to see if you can just get along with him?
It was a phone call, and it was great. It was a good one. And then it's once we met, it wasn't always just cotton candy, but we got along pretty good.
The Desired Effect is the album. We're marching Brandon down to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock to perform in a little bit, but more with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. Speaking of Brandon Flowers, he is here with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock talking about his new record called The Desired Effect. It's going to be coming out very soon on Tuesday, May 19th here in the United States. This is Brandon's second solo album after 2010's Flamingo. And Ali, you were talking to Brandon right there as we were listening to that song here, is that you identify some 80s going on in this album. Is she right about that, Brandon?
A little bit.
80s synth pop?
Synth pop. What do you like? What synth pop did you like?
I liked a lot. I'm a big fan of the OMDs, the Depeche Modes.
The good stuff.
I love that stuff. Yeah. So this was like a throwback for me, and I put on my roller skates and I got out there, Brandon. Thank you.
Speaking of that, it's not only in the production, it's in Neil Tennant from the actual Pet Shop Boys on the record.
Good. That's right.
Now, how do you go about getting a guy like him? I mean, is that you just call his people and hope he gets back to you, or did you already know him?
Neil's cool. I got Neil on my phone, so that's good. I've come to know him over the years, and we actually have him on one of our Christmas songs.
That's right.
Yeah, it's called "Joseph Better You Than Me."
That's right. I forgot about that.
It's about Mary's Joseph.
Anyway. So you call him and you just ask him if he wants to play on a song, or how does that? Well, where you just become friends?
This was a crazy modern thing situation. I texted him and said we have this line that we want you to speak. And he just did a voice memo and sent me the voice memo, and we stuck it from my phone onto the track. It's crazy.
That's pretty high tech, right? I see why you needed that fancy producer for that. It's good work. Speaking of the Christmas songs, let me diverge for 1 second here. Since the last time we talked to you, you did a song with our friend Jimmy Kimmel. That was last year's. That was the 2014 song.
That's right.
He made it look on his show like he was there with you guys in the room writing that song. did it really happen like that?
Not exactly.
But tell us more.
He did send us the full lyric sheet. I told him, we wanted to do a song, and he had this idea, which is a genius idea, about a lump of coal that gets given to a bad kid, and he gives himself up and lets the boy squeeze him, and he becomes a diamond. And it's a sweet, wonderful idea. I can't believe that it's the first time, it took till 2015 to come up with it. Anyway, we made it, a song in Las Vegas, and we're able to work, with Jimmy like that. It was great.
That's weird. It was fun. I love
that you
guys...
He sent you all of the lyrics?
He had the lyrics, which I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
And it was really easy to work like that. I'm
open
to that.
Yeah, if somebody else doing most of the work, that's way easier. That's how I put it work, too.
You also have Bruce Hornsby on this.
That's right.
How did you get a hold
of him?
Well,
we kept referencing him. There's a certain way that he plays chords, and he'll even say, when you play an A minor, you play it, And when I play an A minor, I just play it a little bit different. And he has his own thing that he owns, and it was great to be able to call him up. And he was really accommodating and really cool, and just did whatever he said. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but if you like it, use it.
That's cool.
How did you get this guy Ronnie from the Killers?
Vannucci. Vannucci's all. I say Vannucci's probably got his drumsticks in his back pocket right now somewhere. He's ready for the call. And he really liked this song, Untangled Love, and it just felt like a good fit to have, a little bit of that Killer's DNA on the record.
How is your tour different when you're a solo act versus the Killers?
It's a lot. The shows are smaller, and the band is different. So I don't know. Everything else, though, I try to find similarities, I want to be comfortable, and I look for, my microphone is going to be there, and there's going to be a few familiar faces in the crowd, and I don't know, we have a lot of the same crew working with us, so.
After you tour a lot, do you then sort of differently, like thinking of performing them?
Sometimes,
yeah. Because you've been on stage so long now, you have to sort of,
Find things that work, in these bigger arenas, and okay, that's going to be great, or I want something like that in this next song, and you definitely do apply that kind of stuff.
This is Brandon Flowers we're talking to from The Killers, new solo album coming out on the 19th called The Desired Effect. Do you look at this as an album, a sit-down from front to finish, or do you look at this as a collection of songs?
Try to make it feel like, an experience. And especially you take a lot of us that are accustomed to, buying records that we love and listening to them, the whole thing. We can't help but sit down and really try to get the running order in the right space, and we don't just throw them out there. It's a real nightmare.
I appreciate that, because I feel like the album is almost dead to a certain extent. I feel like we live in a song of the summer world, not in an album you listen to over and over and over again like it used to be. And I know that that's your choice. People can choose to do that if they want. But I appreciate the time and effort that goes into trying to make something that works from the beginning to end.
Yeah, thanks. No, yeah, it feels weird saying that I'm sort of old school in some way, because I'm not. I mean, I'm not. But it has changed very drastically over the last 10 years. And it is weird, I guess. But it's, people are going to do what they're going to do. And I hope that, in a perfect world, they would listen to the whole record and hopefully find something that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Do you feel like a veteran now? The Killers have been around for, what, 10 years or more now? Or do you still feel like you're new in this business?
I feel like I'm starting to, to feel like I belong, but I still feel fairly new and like I've got a lot to learn. But I can't believe it's been 11 years since Hot Fuzz came out. Yeah.
How about that?
That's insane. So, but when you get on stage, you have a certain confidence from being on stage that many times before.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a long time, but I'm starting to really feel like, okay.
Just now.
Yeah.
Starting.
It's just happened. And I'm just feeling like, all right. You look up to these people your whole life that are up there doing it. And those are big shoes to fill. So
You're one of those people.
Yeah, it took me a long time to really feel like, okay, I'm going to lace these babies up and do it.
All right, last question I have, and then we're going to take Brandon down to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock to perform live for us today. And that is, Ali, you tweeted a video a couple of days ago of Brandon in a tuxedo singing a Sinatra song.
I mean, I want a whole album of standards now from you. I don't want to rush you. You're just putting this out. But we're going to need that within 4 months.
I'm going to work on it.
tell me about that day, Brandon. And was that, were you out of your comfort zone doing that? I saw pictures of you with Tony Bennett and some of the others. And this was a Sinatra benefit show?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, he's going to be 100 years old this year. And so they were putting together a little tribute for him at the Tribeca Film Festival. And it was great. They played one of his films. And then they had this whole group of people that were going to sing. And Neo, I sang. Tony Bennett, obviously.
You were bubleying it up, man.
And yeah, so I,
would you call it bubleying it up?
No.
I wouldn't either, really, with what I saw, but.
I don't think anyone would describe it that way, B.
Okay, I withdraw the question then. But it was cool. It was cool to see you do it. Come fly with me, though. It was a lot of fun.
That was cool.
Brandon is not going to be playing here in town until the end of September at the Wiltern, by the way. But you can get all the tour dates if you'd like to follow the young man around the country this summer. There are a lot of them. And, of course, again, the record is coming out on Tuesday, May 19th, called The Desired Effect. You've been hearing it here on K-Rock. And there's so many good songs that we've already heard. I just can't wait to hear the new record. And I guess you'll be doing a couple of them for us live when we return. Is that right?
That's right.
Fantastic. Be right back on K-Rock.
We are in the Red Bull Sound Space. Brandon Flowers is here. It's the Flowers Hour, we've decided, I believe. The Desired Effect is the name of the new album. It comes out May 19th. And what are you going to perform for us here this morning?
We're going to do Jenny Was a Friend of Mine.
Come on, come on.
Awesome. How good was that?
That was fantastic. Brandon Flowers here in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock doing a Killers classic on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What's next?
Lonely Town.
Fantastic. Brandon Flowers live.
But I can't get you off my mind. I'd sleep in the pouring rain. When will you come home again? Spinning like the gravitron when I was just a kid. I always thought that things would change, but they never did. Spinning like the gravitron when I was just a kid. I always thought that things would change, but they never did. I'm hanging on to the end of this rope, somewhere on the outskirts of hope. Life without you not around, another kid in Lonely Town. And I'm spinning like the gravitron when I was just a kid. I always thought that things would change, but they never did. Spinning like the gravitron when I was just a kid. I always thought that things would change, but they never did. Now I'm standing outside your and I'm wondering, baby, do you hear the phone when I call? Do you feel the thud when I fall? Do you hear the crack when I break? Did you lock the door when it shut? Did you see the knife when it cut? Do you keep your ear to the ground for the kid in Lonely Town? The kid in Lonely Town. Lonely Town. Spinning like the gravitron when I was just a kid. I always thought that things would change, but they never did. Spinning like the gravitron when I was just a kid. I always thought that things would change, but they never did.
And I'm wondering,
baby, do you hear the phone when I call?
Do you hear the crack when I break? And I'm wondering,
baby, did you lock the door when it shut?
Do you keep your ear to the ground?
For the kid in Lonely Town.
Lonely Town.
Lonely
Seriously, how good is that?
Now I'm sad. Thanks. Thanks for that.
You're bumming us all out, man.
That's a beautiful song, Lonely Town, from Brandon Flowers. His new solo album called The Desired Effect, due everywhere on Tuesday, May 19th. We are in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. The band is great, by the way. Really sounds terrific. What's up next?
Read my mind.
On the corner of Main Street, just trying to keep it in line. You say you want to move on and you say I'm falling behind. Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? Breaking out of this two-star town, I got the green light and I got a little fight. I'm gonna turn this thing around. Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? The good old restless heart, promised land, a subtle kiss that no one sees, a broken wrist and a picture piece. Ooh, if I don't mind, if you don't mind, 'cause I don't shine, if you don't shine, before you go,
before you go,
can you read my mind? Funny how you just break down. You're waiting on some sign. I pull up to the front of your driveway with magic soaking my spine. Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? The teenage queen, the loaded gun, the drop-dead dream, chosen one, a southern draw, the world unseen, the city wall and a trampoline. Ooh, if I don't mind, if you don't mind, 'cause I don't shine, if you don't shine, before you jump. Tell me what you find.
Tell me what you find.
Can you read my mind? Put your back on me, put your back on me, put your back on me, put your back on me. Stars are blazing like rebel diamonds cut out of the sun. You read my mind. Before you jump,
before you jump,
tell me what you find.
Tell me what you find.
Before you go,
before you go,
can
How about that?
Sounds great. A little acoustic music to get us going this morning with our friend Brandon Flowers from The Killers. He's back with a new solo album that is available everywhere May 19th called The Desired Effect. Your band is great, Brandon. It was wonderful to spend some time with you today. Thanks so much for playing for us.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Roland. Recently on a trip to Chicago to a very lackluster comic book convention, I was lucky enough to come across a little-known videotape that contained the Lost Christmas episode of the Batman TV series from 1966, starring the one and only Mr. Adam West. I couldn't believe my good fortune. So anyway, I returned, and I showed it to Kevin and Bean, and I said, you guys should put this on your Christmas CD because you never put anything good on your show. And to my surprise, they accepted it. So now we'd like to present to you the very rare Lost Christmas episode of the Batman TV show from 1966. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Meanwhile, in the dynamic duo's secret crime-fighting headquarters known as the Batcave, Batman teaches some of Gotham's youngest citizens the true meaning of Christmas.
Now, young people, which one of you can tell me why we celebrate Christmas?
Holy Immaculate Conception! I know.
Not you, Robin.
Darn.
Yes, you, Billy.
So we can get presents?
Well, not exactly.
Holy greedy little bastard.
Robin.
Gosh. Sorry, Batman.
Anyone else? Yes, Janie.
Christmas is the time of year when we wish for peace on Earth and celebrate our love for our fellow man.
Very good, Janie.
Holy bat butt kisser.
I heard that, old chum.
But what about the presents?
You see, Billy, your parents buy you all those presents at Christmas time as a way of showing you that they love you.
I thought Santa Claus brought us the presents.
Don't be a silly, Billy. Santa Claus doesn't exist.
What? Holy heartbreak, Batman! Ixnay on the Anticlaus say.
It's quite all right, Robin. These bright young people deserve the truth. You see, children, it's really your parents that buy you all those gifts with their hard-earned money.
But...
and you're lucky to have parents. My mommy and daddy were brutally gunned down by a heartless criminal. And it was right then, as they lay dying in a pool of their own blood, that I dedicated my life to waging a war on all evildoers.
Batman, you might not
want to... So this year, instead of writing a letter to some obese imaginary elf with his toes turned up, write a letter of thanks to your fine, upstanding parents. Because someday they'll be dead.
Holy shit, Batman! That's awful!
Awful. A true boy wonder.
I want to go home.
I'm afraid that's not possible, little friend. You see, unfortunately, now you all know the top secret location of the Batcave. If that information were to fall into the wrong hands, our careers as crime fighters would be chopped liver.
But I won't tell.
No, I'm sorry. I'm afraid you'll all have to spend Christmas here in this cave until Robin and I can figure out some way to wash your tiny minds clean. Now, who wants to help me hang tinsel on the bat poles?
What's this? The Cape Crusaders' Christmas spent coddling kindergartners? Has Alfred spiked Batman's eggnog? Tune in tomorrow to find out. Same Xmas time, same Xmas channel.
Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up on the show in about a half hour, a little more. Plus, we'll hook you up with tickets for Foo Fighters in September in Southern California and qualify you for the grand prize drawing we do Monday for the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 to see the band one more time at Austin City Limits. That is coming up. We love that American Ninja Warrior. It's a great show. And it was so fascinating on the Venice Finals to see that guy Nick Coolidge. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yeah, is he the dumpster diver?
He is the dumpster diver.
Yeah, that was weird to me because I thought, you know, you picture dumpster divers as maybe homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
He was an athlete that did really well on that.
He was the, if I recall correctly, in Venice, he was the only one who completed the entire course. He was the only guy who accomplished the invisible ladder. Remember, the other two guys got close, but both fell before they got to the top.
And like it was nothing, too.
Like it was nothing, yeah. So he's an amazing athlete. And the reason I was so interested in his eating habits is you think, man, if you're in the kind of shape that's necessary to be on this show, American Ninja Warrior, imagine how much you must take care of your body. Like, you would be so careful about what you're eating, yet this guy gets all of his meals
out of a dumpster.
And couldn't have been more proud about it. Just
couldn't
really
have been more proud.
Yep. I'm cool with this. I get food out of dumpsters.
Now, is that the same as freegans? Is that the same thing? Because we've talked about freegans before.
I don't know what that is.
All right. We want to hear from you if you are a dumpster diver. If you are currently a dumpster diver or have been a dumpster diver, that's a place that you either get or have gotten your meals. We want to hear what that lifestyle is like at 1-800-520-1067.
We had an intern one time that dumpster dive. She told us that that was one of her main sources of food. And we were like, that's A, gross, and B, amazing.
Well, according to Nick, who was interviewed for his appearance on American Ninja Warrior, he says it's not gross at all, but you're going to hate him out of the gate when you hear the puns that he makes about his lifestyle, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on our way to the dump store.
Okay, he's going to the dump store.
Yeah, I forgot. You know, it's funny. I forgot while watching this how much I hated him and how quickly.
All right, even if you're still hanging for dump store,
yep.
Let's see what's next.
For all the food is free 99.
Kevin, all the food is free 99.
You got a problem with that, you can go yourself.
When I first tell people that the majority of my food is taken out of a dumpster, they give me that eye like, I've never eaten anything that you make. All of the food in the stores are packaged and overpackaged, and then when it's thrown away, it's put inside of a plastic bag that's then in another plastic bag. So really, the food doesn't come anywhere close to contact with a dumpster at all.
All right. Now, does that sound right to you guys that a lot of the food that's in the dumpster is in containers and sometimes double containers, so it's really not exposed to any other trash?
No.
I'm sure some of it is, not say the majority.
And
by
the way, it's not just the dumpster that matters. It's the other trash that could seep in. You know what I mean? Like, it's a mess in there.
Please don't say seep
in. I'm just saying.
A lot of these, and maybe we'll hear from our listeners when we get them on the line here. Again, 1-800-520-1067. A lot of people I seem to remember from when we've talked about this in the past, they go to supermarkets. That's where they go, where food is oftentimes still packaged,
right?
Yet is somehow damaged. The outside material is damaged. Or, Allie, like we were talking about in the office yesterday, fruit that's dented or bruised or something like that may be fine on the inside, right?
Sure.
Theoretically?
Sure. Maybe.
Yes. All right, more from Nick.
When I first went dumpster diving, I met somebody there that told me three rules. He said, rule one.
Now, rule one better be don't dumpster dive. Otherwise, this whole exercise is BS.
How is the first person that he runs into somebody that gives him rules for dumpster diving?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
He's fairly charged. All right, let's see what the rules are for dumpster diving.
First come, first serve.
All right, well, that makes sense. First,
please.
If I get here first,
that's
fine.
Right.
Is there a lot of competition at dumpsters? Are people lined up and, hey, I got here first? I mean, is that a thing that happens?
I don't know.
I guess if there's a hot spot that people know you consistently get good stuff, maybe. All right, that's rule one.
Second rule, leave the place cleaner than when you found it.
Because you don't want to leave a dumpster.
It's a dumpster.
Messy or full of trash, right, Nick?
And the third rule is don't take more than you can eat. So here's the thing of yogurt they threw away, and the only reason it's in the trash is because there's a little crack in the lid. Living this way allows me to save money and pursue acrobatics, and now American Ninja Warrior. One dive could keep me fed for a week.
One dive can keep me fed for a week. So his grocery shopping is going to a dumpster and just loading up for the week. And look at the shape that he's in with the diet where he eats only stuff he gets out of the dumpster. It's kind of remarkable, really.
Yeah, but that's got to be the exception, not the rule, right?
I would think so. Yes, I would think so. He must be really, really good at it. And by the way, do I remember correctly? Is he's not the one who lives in Hawaii, is he? I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Don't know. I don't remember that.
But it's pretty remarkable. All right, let's talk to Portia real quick at 1-800-520-1067. She's in North Hollywood. She is first up on dumpster diving. Hey, Portia, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you?
Hi, doing good. I have a cousin who does it through Trader Joe's and Fresh and Easy dumpsters, and he gets a lot of their prepackaged food and, like, the vegetables that they're throwing out, takes it home, he eats it, gives it to his mom. He's been doing it for years.
And you've eaten at his house?
I have. I have no idea if I've eaten the food, but I'm guessing I have.
You have?
Well, so he knows the schedule of when they're going to throw stuff away. It hasn't expired or has just recently expired, right?
Correct, because it's all labeled.
Yeah. That's not
and
bad.
Anything they put in the clearance section. So if you go to Fresh and Easy, they put it in the clearance saying half off.
Okay, why do they throw that stuff away then if it's still edible?
Because of the best by date.
Oh, because of the best
by date. They have to notify a certain date before it technically isn't spoiled.
And that date is usually well before it's spoiled, I imagine, usually. Just to cover themselves.
Correct. Yeah. But it's a safety food hazard, according to one of my friends who's a chef.
All right, well, that makes sense. So, Portia, so how do you feel about that? You see your cousin doing this, and it's working for him. He's saving a ton of money, and it sounds like eating really good food. You have any problem with it?
No, it's prepackaged. It's sealed. I'm fine with it.
So why don't you do it then?
Ooh.
Why don't you do it then?
Ooh, good one.
Oh, I'm not dumping in. I'm not diving into
but
that.
But why not? It sounds like it's nothing but positives.
It's positive. I'd rather pay the half-off price.
Dumpster dive.
What if you had somebody to dumpster dive and they handed it to you so you didn't have to get dirty?
A designated diver.
Designated diver. Yes.
That would be, well, I already have one.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You got her cousin. Okay. All right, Portia. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. George, you hang on. Buddy, Chris, Josh, we'll get to everybody. We want to hear from dumpster divers on the Kevin and Bean Show right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Talking about dumpster diving here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the contestants on American Ninja Warrior does it. He says once a week he goes down to the dumpster and he does all of his shopping for the week and he eats great and you guys can't believe how much wonderful food is thrown away. I don't think it's for me, but maybe it's for our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. Got some calls on the line. Why don't we start with George. George is in Simi Valley. He's on line two. He'll get the conversation going.
Hey, George.
I bet this is something 99.9% of our listeners have never thought of or certainly tried, right?
I would guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, George, what's up, buddy?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you. Hey, dumpster dive.
I dumpster dive a lot.
Okay. Why?
Because there's money there, baby, and food is food. In my experience, you know, I go around like apartments and stuff, and, you know, people, you know, they get kicked out or they get booted or whatever. And then the managers go in, they'll get a nice clean bag and fill up the refrigerator, everything in the freezer, put it in the bag and throw it in the dumpster. And it's just like
so you bombs. Wait for somebody to get bounced from their apartment and then they toss all their food away? You have to wait for somebody to literally be kicked out?
Oh, it happens all the time.
But how do you, like, do you go to the dumpster every day to see if there's a new bag in there, or is there a certain,
no,
like...
No, it's like about three times a week because, you know, you have to time the garbage trucks, okay? So like where I'm at, I wouldn't go on a Monday because Monday morning they empty the dumpster. So Monday would be a wasted day for me. Tuesday, yeah, a little bit. But say Thursday, and then Saturday, Sunday, perfect day.
There's no way you're real, George.
Atlee's calling BS on you, George.
Really?
Yep.
George,
are you BS on me?
Yep. Are you for real? Atlee thinks you're playing a character.
All right. Are you kidding me? I am absolutely real. I've been doing this for 20 years. I do it all the time. I was making my living on it for a long time, you know, not only getting food, but there's so much food.
Wait. How do you make your living? You find stuff that people threw away and then sell it?
That, and then there's cans and bottles and all kinds of stuff.
What's considered a great meal out of a dumpster, George?
When they dump the freezer and you got chicken or you got steaks or you got fish, it's all still frozen. Because if you're there on the same day, the stuff's all still frozen, all good to go.
What about seepage?
Seepage?
I'm just saying, there's other trash.
No, that's what I'm saying. A lot of times, all that stuff goes into one bag.
Right, that's what Kevin's question is.
Now, if it's in separate bags, well, you have to be careful. But, you know, if it's not sealed and you're going to cook it, there's nothing wrong with it.
Where are you from, George?
I'm from Simi Valley.
Simi Valley.
Oh, local. Okay.
Are you New York, like every other word? I'm not buying it. Huh? I don't know.
You're not buying it.
What do you mean you're not buying it? I'm from Simi Valley.
What are you talking about? I get on the phone to tell you I'm a dumpster diver, and that's not proof enough for you?
Well, I mean...
I'm Team George, by the way. I'm totally by it, George.
All right.
Last question, George. Is it a financial consideration for you, or is it just you're environmentally and socially conscious?
No, it's financial.
Financial. Okay. All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
What? I'm a joke to you. I'm a joke to you over here in Simi Valley.
All right. Let's talk to line four, please, and Josh in Roland Heights. Let's see if Josh is for real.
Oh, Josh. I'm sorry. I went to Buddy. Hold on one second. All right. Let's go to Josh. Hi there.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and Allie McKay. How are you?
We are good.
Yeah,
Back in college, I was doing the dumpster diving thing, but I wasn't like that guy doing it in apartments. I did it in supermarkets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's what we were questioning, is the major supermarkets, if you know what day they throw out the food and all that, it maybe makes sense.
Yeah, you have a system.
Absolutely. See, the hardcore people, the easy people, they're the ones who get the prepackaged stuff, like the cereals and dry foods. Now, the hardcore people are the ones who actually get the produce, like vegetables and meats that they throw out.
Yeah.
And Kevin's concern is true. There is seepage, but if you find, like, a block of cheese that's inside its vacuum packaging,
right,
that's great.
I know that John Oliver, who does that Sunday Night Show on HBO that's so great, he just did a big piece on how much food Americans throw away. Is it shocking to you when you used to open up a dumpster, Josh, to see how much perfectly edible food was thrown away?
Absolutely. And the bad thing about it is when you go to places like Beverly Hills, when they actually lock the dumpsters to keep the homeless out. Now, that's bad.
But, do they do that because they're afraid they'll get sued, or what's the... Why would they do that?
I have no idea. There are far smarter people than I that can answer that question.
I wonder if I know that in the tape we heard from the American Ninja Warrior guy, he said you're supposed to leave the place neater than when you showed up. But I wonder if not everybody follows those rules and they locked it so that people don't get in there and start throwing stuff out as they're digging through it looking for other things. Maybe it just made a big mess around the dumpster and that's why they started.
It's a food fight.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that even though we're doing the dumpster diving thing, we don't want to get caught because security does come around and start snooping and start asking questions. God forbid a cop comes by.
Well, let me ask you that, Josh. Is it illegal?
I think technically it's considered trespassing.
Because you're on private property if you're in somebody's dumpster.
Exactly.
All right, last question for you, and I'm so glad you called, sir, and you used your real voice. And that is, why did you stop? It sounds like you had a pretty sweet deal.
Because I kind of grew up, went to law school, and became a lawyer.
Ah. But isn't the food just still as good?
The food is still just as good, but, you know, eventually you grow up and you just want to go into a supermarket. It's like, you know what? This is great. I don't have to wash my hands afterwards.
Okay.
That's an important safety tip, is to not have to wash your hands.
I'm glad you called. Thank you so much, Josh. And the takeaway for today's show is if you dumpster dive, you will grow up and become a lawyer.
I think that's true.